Right. Man, that was awesome worship, dude. Good job. From one fellow guitar player to another. I love it. Acoustic worship's the best, right? I mean, I'm not downing the whole band. I'm just saying. You know. I know people hate when speakers do. Can y'all move together? I don't want one group. I have a tendency to like look this way because Sid's over here, and I love Sid so much that I'll just end up looking at him, and you guys will feel left out. Do y'all care to kind of move closer together? I know. Yeah, I'm that guy. And you guys are like, man, what a turd. He made us sit next to each other. Oh, do you? All right, great. Hey, all right, everybody hold hands now. No, I'm just kidding. That's right. That's right. I was joking around, and I was telling Sid earlier. I mentioned it to a few others. I feel like I have really one word. It's like my whole life, right? Because I'm not going to sit here and just tell you about what I study, right? I'm going to come here and try to tell you what I feel like God's done in my life. The word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? Word of our testimony, man. So I don't want to appeal to your cognitive side. I feel like if I pour my heart out in my life, that somehow that will minister to you. And I think that's what the Lord wants. And I felt really specifically that I was here to encourage you. This house played a vital role in my life. If I start crying or something, don't think anything of it. I promise I'm not a sissy. I just cry. But this house means a lot to me. When I showed up here, I was a broken, disillusioned Christian. I love the Lord. There wasn't any doubt about that. But my marriage was a wreck. My wife and I had a conversation about 2 or 3 weeks prior to me showing up, and we kind of looked at each other and said, I don't really like you anymore. I said, well, that's good, because we can take care of this right now, and the only two people that will be hurt by it is me and you, right? And, you know, we were saved enough to know that we probably should talk to the Lord about breaking that covenant, right? And so we decided, let's pray. You know, let's do something very spiritual, and we're going to pray together while we want to divorce each other. And Lord clearly spoke to me. He said, the reason your marriage didn't work is because you're not connected to the body. Pure and simple. You can't expect to have an alive marriage where you're not attached to where the life is, right? And of course, I'm like, you know, I guess cognitively, you look at it and you go, well, God, I love you. But like, you know, the finger can love the body too, but you cut that thing off, what's going to happen? Right? It's going to shrivel up. So God just ministered that to us. And so, you know, we lived down past the high school that way. And on 8 Brock Lane. I kind of like forget what my address was, but I went and drove by it today, man. And I don't know. It was cool to go back and see the old house. But, yeah, when we showed up, let's see, we'd had, you know, a bunch of pamphlets. Do churches around here still send a lot of pamphlets? It seemed like we were inundated. Maybe it was just God, like, trying to tell, kind of get our attention. But it seemed like our mailbox was full, like, every week of, like, come check us out, you know. And so we started the deal where we would go check out churches and, you know, and this one was to this and that one was to that. And so we were a couple few weeks into it, and we were going to go find, you know, one of the pamphlets that was in the mailbox. We were going to go find that place. Well, we went down somewhere in the county and couldn't find it, and started kind of, this for us would have been the back way home a little bit. So we come down this back road here, and we see this little church over on the other side of the tracks. So I'm like, well, I mean, it's TBN or this. Let's go, you know. So, I mean, we thought, you know, God will, you know, honor it if we watch TV, because we at least tried. But hey, there's a church. Let's just go there. So we pulled in about that time. You know, we parked. In fact, I remember I pulled into the parking space. So if on the security tape you see my vehicle, just pull in, park, and then pull back out, that was me. I just had to pull in, and I pulled into the parking spot that we pulled into. I remember it. I mean, that's how impactful it was. And we heard the music, and I was like, man, that sounds like that's strong. That's our jam. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, nts, nts, nts. I don't know what was going on, you know? It wasn't quite that clubby, you know? But you know what I'm saying. You know when you hear it, like, from the outside? And so we were like, man, that sounds like our jam. Let's pull up in there. I'm talking about from the second we walked in the door, our marriage was healed. From the second. It didn't take 3 weeks of couples therapy. I don't think we ever met with you about our relationship as it pertains to that. But the minute we walked in, our relationship was healed. Because God was faithful to His Word. He just said, go get connected. So the minute we connected, He healed it. We've never had counseling since. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with counseling. Look, I think, man, you know, you can have a healthy marriage and go get counseling. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, for us, we never needed it. God healed it immediately. So when I say this church saved my life, it literally saved my life. Because a couple of years later, we had our first son, Christian. He's 14 now. He was dedicated in this church. That man dedicated him. I think he crapped on you, did he not? I think he did. I think he blew up a diaper on you. But but that man dedicated my son. And I'm telling you, man, I wish he was here. I wish he, you know, I wish I could have pulled him out of school for the day and brought him with me just to kind of be an armor bearer for me. But I'm so proud of my son. Like, my son is the 14-year-old that I wish I was at 14. He loves God. He's courteous and thoughtful. And I think this church had something to do with that. Man, I ain't got past the intro. Crap. You better quit it.
I got messed up when you talking about pulling in the parking spot. Maybe they got when Brett House got saved right there.
Yep. But I felt like specifically God wanted me to come here and encourage you guys. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I've been toting a prophetic word with me for about 15 years. Has anybody, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, I know we come from all different kinds of situations, but has anybody ever been prophesied over? Has anybody ever received a word from the Lord in your study time with the Lord that said, where the Lord impressed upon you, I want this from you in this life? That's prophetic too, okay? You can prophesy to yourself just as good as somebody else can prophesy over you, right? In fact, I think you should. You should prophesy over yourself, right? But I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you guys tonight, really, that it is His full intention in this season to complete everything that He said He would do. I'm not saying this year. I'm not saying next month. I'm just saying He remembers what He said. He remembers what He said. He didn't forget about it. And just because you feel a million miles away from what God said, maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, for me, 15 years ago, you could feel a million miles away from the Word of the Lord, He remembers it. There's no time and space. God's not bound by time. When He says that you are going to become whatever you are, He sees the finished product. He saw you where you were. He found me in a college dorm room. Right? I didn't mean to go back in this far in my testimony, but I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were both Spirit-filled Christians, raised me that way. I got tired of not getting invited to parties, to be honest. I got tired of being left out. And so, of all places, I went to Samford University, which is like the most Baptist college in the face of the earth. It's like the wrong place to go to party, but I went there. That's just the grace of God. And I went to Samford to go party. And so I remember at one point I'm down in Panama City and I am high out of my mind, drunk out of my mind. And God is like, what are you doing here? And I said, God, if you'll send me home, I will leave here. I will leave here. If you just send me home. We got evicted that night. That tells you what kind of crew I was with. We got evicted that night. I sobered up in literally 2 seconds. I went from high as a kite to sober like that. And God sent me home. Right? So that's how I grew up. That's how I came to know the Lord. I just want you guys to know, like, I'm not standing up here telling you I got this thing figured out, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I'm in process. And I want to lock arms with you guys in this moment. I know I may not be here next week. But I want to lock arms with you in this moment because I believe that God wants to do something in our lives tonight. Cool? All right, so I want to encourage you that you're not too far away from the Lord. You're not too far away from the Lord, and you're not far enough away from the call of God. And that doesn't mean that you're like living a life of sin. I mean, there's been times where I've been living for God and felt a million miles away from the word that God spoke over me. Right? So, when God gives you a prophetic word, He's inviting you on a journey. And at the end of that journey, you're definitely going to attain the promise. Right? The only condition is you don't quit. That's the only condition. But He's way more interested in the relationship formed while on the road with you. And that's really what I want to talk about is lessons from the road. Because my road started here. You know, I was saved. I love the Lord. But this is where God set me on a road, on a path. Okay? So, my story, I guess, really started from where I'll pick up is... anybody familiar with Damon Thompson? I mean, I know some of you are, but is everybody? Okay. So Damon, I think he was like holding the office of prophet in this house for a long time. I don't know what the situation is now, but he's your apostle. Okay. But he held the office of prophet here for a while, did he not? Is that right? Is that an accurate statement? Okay. So, I mean, he came here and just wrecked the house, right? He just came in here, turned the tables over and left, right? And I miss like the big revival. So everybody's like, oh man, you should have been here in 96, man. Damon just turned the place over. I think the popular statement was we were stacking bodies up in the corners trying to get people all out of the way because things were so crazy, right? And I'm like, oh, of course, I miss that, you know. But I was sitting, I believe right there, with my wife, and you know, Damon preached kind of a normal revival message. It was like, you know, get closer to God. If you don't read your Bible, you suck. You know, get right with God. You know, I mean, he was a lot tougher back in the day than he is now. He's kind of mellowed a little bit. He delivers a lot more love and affection now. Back in the day, it was just like you pulled up to the fire hose and he just got you, right? And which I love. And so anyway, he kind of preached a normal revival service, and I said, I went forward. I think I was like looking to be more bold on my job, you know, just a good Christian reason to respond to an altar call, you know, I just want to be more boldness. And I got a good deal more than that. Right? He overpaid the bill by several thousand dollars here. So I pulled up right here. There's another gentleman who's not here tonight, but he's, you know, I kind of got, you know, the line was kind of long and everybody was responding and I kind of was losing heart. I'm like, you know, I feel kind of stupid now. You know, lost the fire a little bit between there and there. And so I was going to turn around and go sit back down. And this guy occurred. He's like, no, I believe God got something for you. I'm like, well, okay. I guess I'll stay. I mean, so I'm just letting you know, it felt like a really spiritual moment. I'm just kidding. It really didn't. I was like, okay, I guess I'm here. And so anyway, so eventually I was standing here. I don't know how I got here. I guess the line brought me here, and I was up about here. And he said, God's called you to leadership. He just begins to prophesy. And I was always jealous of you because you seem to get all the prophetic words, by the way. I was telling him earlier, you know, you got three to every one of my one. But so he says God's called you to leadership. He said you have, you know, a specific leadership gift. He said, and God is about to make you very successful. He said, I'm not talking about just rich. I'm talking about wealth. I'm like, glory. I mean, that ain't all, you know, that's not a prophetic word that anybody's like, no, you know, I really don't want that. So I was down. But it did. It awakened something in my heart. And that's one thing I want to kind of stop for a second. When somebody speaks over you in the prophetic, it should touch something that's already there. Right? If somebody tells you something and you've never thought of that in your life and it has no attachment in your heart, you need to be careful just taking that in. People say well-intentioned things to encourage us that may not be prophetic, may not be the word of the Lord. Right? So we do want to weigh that out. But it did. It hit me in the heart. It was me. He was like, I was like, I knew that was in there. You just happened to say it. I've never had the words to be able to express that. That's awesome. And I think he put his hand on me, but all I know was I was in the floor, about here, crying, snotting, everything else. And he says, and it was weird because that day he had preached the morning service too. And so my wife and I, when we were here, we had fully engaged, but we were like every other weekend. My wife is a little bit of a baby. We were going to home to see Mama in Alabama, right? About every other weekend. And on the way home from Sunday morning service, I just happened to tell her, I said, listen, babe, I said, you need to understand, we're not going to get what we're supposed to out of this house and be what we're supposed to in this house unless we determine that this is home. And I said, whether you like it or not, this is where God's put us. And she loved the house, you know what I mean? She just didn't love being away from her mom. And so she was like, I said, whether you like it or not, this is home. That was the statement. He's like, I know, you know. It's one of those kind of things. Well, then he says, where is this guy's wife? You know, and I'm still, you know, drunk in the spirit, like, you know, where is, you know. Well, here she comes, and he says to her something similar, you know, kind of her version of the same thing he said to me. I don't even think he got his hand on her before she went down. I mean, it looked like a sniper hit her from up there. She just, you know. And just the power of God, you know, hitting my wife. And Damon walks away like this, and this is just, the only reason I even bring this part of the story up is just because it shows how authentic the word of the Lord is. He walks this way, stops, and he says, oh, by the way, Holy Spirit says this is your home. I mean, God's reading our mail in front of all y'all, right? I mean, and so that drove home to me. If that was right, and I felt this other thing, it was an anchor point for me to know this whole thing was the Lord, right? Okay. Now, I wish I could tell you that I got up out of the floor, started a Inc. 500 best business, and started turning $1 million worth of revenue the next week. Instead, me and my wife got pregnant. Had a baby, or we're going to have a baby. And 2 weeks after finding out that she was pregnant, I get laid off from my job. I was the best sales guy they had. They said they ran out of money. So I get fired, right? My wife had just quit her job as a teacher because we had decided as a family that she was going to be a stay-at-home mom. So there went that income. And she was working in Douglas County. They get paid more. I'm just saying. They used to. Douglas County used to get paid more. So we lost that income. The job I got after being laid off, I think was immediately a $50,000 pay cut. I'm going to tell you that hurt. It hurt big time. And I just bought a house. And I'd bought two vehicles at the same time almost. So I had two car payments. So here I was. The word of the Lord was, man, God's called you to wealth. I'm like, oh, praise God, glory to God. I feel that. Then you get laid off. Now deal with that. The thing is, when you start to look scripturally at my experience, it's not altogether different than what happened to Joseph. Right? Does everybody remember Joseph? He has the guts and other stuff to tell his brothers that they're all going to bow down before him. They say, well, try that on, partner. So they sell him into slavery, right? He spends 13 years in jail, right? That experience is not all too different than the Jews. They go to, you know, they go to Egypt to, you know, on the second in command, Joseph's request, they get the best part of the land, extremely blessed. Then they spend 400 years in slavery. And then they spend another 40 years in the desert, right? Even after the release from Egypt, right? So they had to spend some time in the wilderness. And man, Jesus did it too. I mean, you got to imagine, it doesn't seem right that the Son of God goes and gets baptized, the heavens open up, the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, and the audible voice of God says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's a pretty dramatic moment, is it not? Right? Where does he go straight from there? The wilderness, man. You know why? Because God has to, he has to present a challenge to his own word. Now, it's not always him that does it. Sometimes the enemy comes in and attacks, whatever. It doesn't matter. We go to the wilderness when we receive a word from the Lord because we have to see that God is more committed to that word than we are. So we get out to the wilderness, you get laid off, things turn around, things aren't doing what you thought they were going to do, and here you have the opportunity to be offended by God saying you didn't do what you said you're going to do, and instead what he's saying is I'm going to build character in you so that when I actually do give you the blessing, you have the character with, to withstand it. Right? And character comes... I mean, help me with the scripture. Character comes by, isn't that 1 Corinthians? I'm struggling with my scripture memory right now. But you know, character is developed through perseverance. Perseverance, look, perseverance by definition is going through something, right? So here I am in my wilderness experience. And I think the interesting part about that wilderness is that God will also send words to encourage you, right? But I'll just tell you, my wilderness experience was 10 years long. Some of you were just like, oh, that sucks. But the truth is, I mean, anything worth having, right? Anything worth having is what? Worth sticking it out, man, right? And so when God gives me a prophetic word, what that does is it tethers my heart to something that's firm. That way when the storm does come, I'm not blown all over the place because I can look back to the floor. I can't tell you how many times I've had to preach to myself in my basement and tell myself, hey, no. You're called to wealth, man. When my business was going backwards, I would remind myself, I'm called to wealth. I'd remind God. There's times along the way in the journey where I get frustrated. That's all I had to give God was my frustration. You know, I remember Damon preached a sermon one time. He said, look, he said, we make talking to God, you know, so fluffy sometimes, but sometimes all we have, after we've been kicked around a little bit by the world, all we have is frustration. And I remember I was sitting out on my front porch and I was like, God, this is not what you said, and I'm tired of going around this mountain over and over again. I'm tired of going back and forth through the same old crap over and over again. And he said, first thing you need to know, son, is I'm not mad at you. And the second thing you need to know is I'm a gardener. And gardeners go back and forth throughout a garden several times, never mad at the garden for having weeds, but the farmer is determined to get those weeds and rocks out. Why? Because when he throws out seed, he's expecting a 30, 60, 90, and 100-fold increase, and he's going to make sure every rock and every weed is out, not because he's mad at me, but because he has great expectations for me. Right? Amen. I remember one time I was going to the refrigerator, and it was a real bad day, right? Everything's really going backwards on us. Things were tight, and here I am, called to wealth, and I can't even make my business work. And we're barely paying the bills, you know. And I'm dealing with the pride issues, you know. I thought that I was Jehovah Jireh. I forgot that I wasn't, you know. So I had to deal with that. And I remember I was going to the refrigerator one night, and I said, or one morning, and I was really upset. And again, I'm talking to the Lord. I don't know how you guys talk to the Lord. Y'all are probably a lot more holy than I am. Y'all probably are so nice, and y'all never get frustrated. So I go to put my water in the little refrigerator water machine, you know, and I go, I'm like, this is not what you said. You said wealth, and this is like the opposite of that. Not, you know, barely making ends meet is the opposite of that thing. And he said, I'll never trust you. He said, until I can trust you with the last $10 you have, I'll never trust you with a million. Well, I'll be honest with you, the way I work, I took the positive side of that. I was like, I forgot about the, I had to give my last $10 part. I'm like, oh, you're talking about millions. Sweet, I'm down. Once again, I feel the glory, man. You know, I got goosebumps all over the place. Heck yeah, you know. So for me, it was like, but I needed that reminder. I needed that reminder that that he still remembered what he said about me. Even though my situation and my circumstances don't look the way that I want them to, he still remembered what he said about me. When we moved to Alabama, I'll be honest with you, I've been the kind of person that I could pretty much live anywhere and not be, you know, not be really homesick. I mean, when I went to college, I didn't go home much. I mean, you know, I love my parents. I mean, my parents are great, but I just never was like a real homebody. And so when we left here, you know, I just thought, well, we're just moving. You know, we're moving to Alabama. We'll be near family over there. It won't be that bad. Guys, I live in the middle of nowhere. Y'all thought this was a country. Brett can tell you, I live in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's like banjos in the background, you know, hide your kids. It's in the middle of nowhere, right? And I felt a million miles away from that word. I was like, I'm in the middle of nowhere with a suck job that I hate. This is not what he said. He don't seem to care. And I was sitting there, and our new senior pastor came up to me, and he said, I was just looking at you guys, and he said, I felt like the Lord told me to tell you I'm about to bless you. But the minute he said that, I heard in my own spirit, God said, you forgot what I said about you. I didn't. I was like, that's awesome. The word followed me, right? I was encouraged for that week. Then the next week, our associate pastor takes me out to lunch after church, and verbatim, I'm talking about, he says, he starts welling up with tears. He said, brother, I've got a word for you. Come on, lay it on me, brother. You know, we're sitting there at C.A. Smith's barbecue. Bring it on. He's about to cry. He says word for word what Damon said. I'm talking about word for word. He said, do you bear witness with that? Please tell me you do. I was like, by gosh, I better. Because I've heard that word for word from another man. And so it just let me know, like, God is committed to His word. Like, He's not going to just say, God doesn't waste His energy talking about things that He has no intention of accomplishing in us. Does that make sense? He is faithful to His word. He's not a man that He would lie. Right? So, like I said, when we receive a prophetic word, it's actually an invitation to a journey, right? I said that when I started. And so I want to tell you a couple of points on the road that I think are helpful when we get to that point where we're saying, okay, God, I kind of know what you want me to do. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, look, he said leadership and wealth. I mean, that could mean a million things. I didn't have any idea what that meant. I felt like I did. You know, I went and bought a book on, like, spiritual finance, you know. Didn't read it. Okay. But I thought I knew what it meant. And but here's some kind of mile markers on that road, okay? The journey to God completing what it is that He said He would do. The first thing He had to do is He had to teach me who He was. I couldn't know who I was until I knew who He was, right? So He started telling me about who He is, you know. He encouraged me to start a real prayer life. Up to that point, my prayer life had been like, make a list of all my heathen relatives. And I knocked it out in 5 minutes, you know. And you hear people like, man, I just got caught up in the glory, man. I prayed for like 30 minutes to an hour. I'm like, I can't pray for 5 minutes. I mean, I couldn't pray. I mean, I hit my list and it was done in 5 minutes. And God taught me how to pray. I don't really have time to get into it, but I'll tell you what I do. I pray through the Lord's Prayer. That's my prayer model. right? I create steps along the way. And for me, it's just, I'm the kind of person that I'm not saying that I don't just spend time with God, like just talking to Him, like free talking. But I'm saying, like, there are times where when I go to the Lord, I just want to be focused and intentional about what it is that I'm saying. And so I just use the Lord's Prayer as a prayer model, right? And I just kind of walk through those. Man, it helps me to hit the things that I feel like are really important. So I'm just throwing that out there. But that's one of the things. And in part of that, it says, hallowed be thy name, right? Honored is your name. Well, He's got a ton of names. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my place of escape. He's my strength and fortitude, right? He's God of heaven's armies. He gave Himself that one, right? Like, will He not fight for me? He's God of heaven's armies, right? So I would remind myself of who He is. And each name of God is not His name. It's actually His character. It's who He is. It's not that He's just my provider. He's actually provision. He is literally provision. He's literally healing. When I say His name, that may be all I have to say. And healing can come to my body. Right? So it's like, it is His character. So He had to teach me who He was. He had to teach me how to study the Bible. I'll be honest with you. My study of the Bible was like, you know, and you can end up on some crazy scripture and make you feel really depressed. You know what I mean? You need to read scripture in context, right? He taught me how to read the Bible because I was ministering to some of our youth, and it kind of dawned on me as I was saying it, but you know, Jesus, it said that Jesus was the Word become flesh, right? And He came and took flesh on and dwelt among us. So His name, before it was Jesus, was the Word, right? And then God said His own name, Yahweh, to a woman's womb. And when He said His own name, He's so creative that He can't say anything without something being created. And so He said His own name to a woman's womb, and Word became flesh. He died, rose again, went back to heaven, sent us Holy Spirit, and then Holy Spirit gave us words. And now we have a collection of Holy Spirit-inspired Word. And so when we read the Word, we're literally reading Jesus. It is His character. It's who He is. It's His personality. He had fun. He loved kids. I think He's probably a funny guy. Seemed like He had a sense of humor. I mean, He hung out with Peter. You know? I mean, you know, for dudes to hang out, let's just be real. For some of the dudes that He hung out with, he had to be pretty cool. It wasn't like he was floating 3 feet off the ground with shafts of green light coming out from his fingers. Like Mark Rutland reference. You know, he was a real dude. He was a dude's dude. That's why tax collectors liked him. That's why pimps liked him. The pimps liked him. The prostitutes liked him. They thought he was cool, you know. I mean, everybody liked this dude. So it wasn't like he was like, I mean, he was a good dude, right? He was real. I mean, he goes over to Zacchaeus' house. He's not like, Zacchaeus, you are a dirty sinner. He's like, hey, bro, I'm coming to your house to eat. He's like, all right. I guess, you know, I'm 4 foot tall. I guess we'll go eat lunch. Well, he gets there. There's no record of Jesus saying, my gosh, you are a sinner. I'm tired of you swindling people out of money. There's no record of that. But magically, Zacchaeus springs up from the middle of the party, says, everybody I cheated, I'm going to pay back 4 times. Right? Not because Jesus called him out, but because Jesus was his friend. Right? So he was a good guy, and we need to know him that way. Right? I also found this out about him. Is he's always communicating. I'm not always listening, but he's always communicating. I'll tell you just a real quick story on that. I started to have some success in my business. Things felt like they were progressing. I felt like, you know, there was a Holy Spirit momentum on what we were doing. We brought on some humongous clients. I mean, one of these clients turned $60 million a year. I mean, not a joke client, right? they weren't billing that at the time, but it was a big climb, right? Felt like I had some things going, man. The turn is happening. You know, God's word is about to release in my life. Breakthrough, right? And I wake up. You know, like when you've like caught somebody in the middle of a sentence, and it's kind of like that awkward, like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you saying something? You know? That's what happened when I woke up. I heard, not in my ear, but in my spirit, I heard the Lord speaking. He said, Ziklag. Like, Ziklag. Sounds biblical. I don't know what that is. You know, Pastor Sid knows what that means. I didn't. So I went to my Bible, and I read this story about David. And he lived in a city called Ziklag with all his mighty men. And the Amorites came through, wiped out the city, stole their wives, took all their stuff, and burnt the city down. I was like, that sucks. That is not the word I needed to catch God saying, right? Then 2 weeks later, I lost all my accounts. Just like David, his mighty men, you know, were ready to kill him, right? I started fielding phone calls from other people in the business that I work in that are saying, I don't even think you work. You suck at your job, basically. I mean, they weren't that blunt, but they were pretty close. And it felt like Ziklag. You know the comfort in that? God gave me a 2 week heads up on that. You know what I mean? Like, how good is God to wake you up in the night, being preparing your heart, preparing your spirit, man, while you sleep, to receive, you're going to walk through something. I'm going to prepare your spirit, man, for it while you're asleep. Like, is he not good? Come on, man. Come on. So he's always communicating. And if we'll make room for him in the night, in the day, with other people, in our conversations, in our relationships. You know, Sid said something earlier about really wanting to build community. That's what that's about, man. And I'm convinced that there are things in God that you will never receive apart from being part of a community. You could sit there and be all the holy you want to be, but until you're connected to somebody else, God is hiding things in other people that you cannot get on your own. So this is not just about men's group. This is about the fact that my brother over here with the hat on, man, I love your intensity, man. Man, you make somebody feel good when they're speaking. Boring holes through me. I love it. No, but there's something in that guy I got to have. There's something in his spirit that I don't have in my spirit, and God has hidden it in him. What's your name? Morgan. There's something that God has hidden in Morgan that I cannot have unless I have a relationship with Morgan. And so I have to have a relationship with Morgan if I plan to get that. Right? I may not be motivated to be a people person, but I am super motivated to be a God person. Right? And maybe on the front end, God will fix my intentions later. Maybe on the front end, Sid, maybe I'm just friends with you because I know there's something of God inside you. I mean, I may not even care for you that much. I do, of course. But maybe there's something on the inside of you that I got to have, and I'm so committed to getting that out of you that I spend time with you just so I can have access to God. Right? And then God fixes that, and we become friends, and now we love each other, and we're able to talk about everything. But maybe it didn't start that way. Right? So I think that's what this is about. The second thing he had to do is he had to teach me. How am I doing? Where are we at? Okay. The second thing he had to teach me was who I am. Right? I was telling Sid this today. He flew me to London, England to tell me who I was. I was doing something for work. And you got to understand, I'm like a history nerd. Right, I love history. I love English history. I like kings. I like the whole thing with like Braveheart. I like that scene where he rides up in that dude's house on the horse and like takes that morning star and like smashes that dude's brains out in his bed. I love that era of time. Can I get a witness, please? Somebody, please. That's what I'm talking about. All right, I love that movie. Right. So God takes me to England. I'm like, oh my, this is incredible. I'm going here for work. I'm not even paying for it. And so I had like one day to really go tour London, right? And so I went and toured, and then I had like half a morning before my flight to go see the Tower of London, right? Which is kind of like the first castle in London. And so I go to the Tower of London, and at the Tower of London they have the crown jewels, right? So it's, I mean, and it is gaudy. I mean, they have crazy, it's like, you start to realize, like, this is what, like, the by the world standard, this is what unlimited resources looks like, right? We're talking about stacks of diamonds, that deep, of diamonds that went in a crown. You know, I'm like, they just peeled those jokers out and made a stack of them, just because they could, right? And so I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm watching these guys, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of touring the history, and God says, what qualified them for all of that? I was like, well, I mean, they came from the right bloodline. He's like, that's it. That's all it was. Wars were fought over that bloodline. There were men and women who laid their lives down because this person felt like they had a claim to a throne because of the blood. He said, how much more claim do you have? He said, I'm the king of the universe. Right? Not only did I put my blood over you, I changed your DNA. I put my blood in you. That's why I can call you a son. Right? You're not like my stepson that I slap around. Like, you're my son's son. And I'm not, and, you know, if you're a stepson, listen, I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I'm saying God doesn't view us any different than Jesus. There's no difference. My sister's adopted. There's no difference between me and my sister. My sister gets a 50% cut just like I do when my parents pass. She was grafted in, right? The spirit of adoption. Man, that's why this thing works, right? So God's saying, listen, I put my blood over you. I put my blood in you. How much more do you have access to than these jokers? In fact, I had to strip their authority away because they forgot who they were. Right? I mean, I felt grieved in my spirit as I'm looking at all this crazy amounts of wealth in this building, and I'm like, these people have no power, no authority, they just got the money. That's it. They used to have the money and power and authority, right? Now they just have the money. And I felt like God was like, I've given you power. I've given you authority. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. You're the many manifested sons of God. Everything that he gets, you get. His inheritance is your inheritance, right? His ability to heal was a model for your ability to heal. And even he said, because you'll have 2,000 years to chew on this, you'll do greater works than me. Right? So I had to find out who I was and quit making excuses for being pathetic. Right? I don't have time. Life's been hard. Right? Man, life is hard. But God is the King of Kings. That's what he said. He's the King of Kings. And that doesn't mean he's like the King of Henry VIII. He's the King of Kings. He put me on earth to rule and reign while he's in heaven. Right? The Spirit of God is on the inside of me. Everywhere that my foot shall tread, I claim that land for the kingdom. And he put me in a place so that I would have the opportunity to determine, this is what God says here. You know what doesn't belong here? Sickness don't belong here. Right? Why? Because I decided it don't, and my daddy said that sickness don't belong in heaven. Does that make sense? So I'm a king operating a realm for my father with all his power and authority. Sid and I were talking about this today. He was talking about his son-in-law is working for him, and he was saying, you know, Brett's on a work trip, you know, and when Brett goes on that work trip, he is operating in all of Sid's power and authority on that work trip. I said, how annoying would it be if Brett called you every 5 minutes asking if he could take a pee break? Hey, boss. Hey, boss. Can I go to the bathroom? You're like, if you can't decide when to go to the bathroom on your own, maybe you shouldn't have all that power and authority, right? Right? And so the point is, God trusts us. I think about how much God trusts us. Y'all remember the story about Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. They passed through Samaria. The Samaritans wouldn't take them in. And so what was it? It was John and Andrew, I think. Well, anyway, two of them, right? Two of the like the inner squad four, right? And they're like walking, you know, they're kind of like, you know, like there's the other eight, and then there was like the four that were like right behind Jesus. And they're like, you know, those guys over there, they didn't let us come in their city. You want me to call down fire on them? Jesus didn't tell them they were wrong. He didn't say, you can't do that. Right? He never told them, like, you can't call down fire. He just said, don't call down. No. No, we're not calling down fire on people. That's not what we do. We're going to love people, right? But he didn't tell them like it was impossible to call down fire, right? That's how much he trusts us to rule a realm, right? And whether it's at Cargill or whether it's at, you know, the handlebar, I forget the name, KST, you know, wherever it is that we are, whether it's on my business, somebody give me a job. Where's somebody else work? AT&T, right? Somebody give me another one. Southwire. Doesn't matter where I am, right? Kingdom is my job. It's to make earth look like heaven. That's it. And when I come in there and my coworker's sick, I should have every confidence because this is in my realm and I am God's nobility in this realm. I have full say-so over whether or not that sickness gets to exist here. Right? People may say, well, you know, I prayed for my family and they didn't get healed. I've done the same. But I'm not going to build a theology over what God didn't do. I'm going to say if he did it for this other guy, then he will do it for this person. Right? And if it doesn't work out the way I thought it would, I'm going to go back and try it again. Because I'm not going to sit here and determine the character of God and hold God's character hostage over what didn't happen. Right? I'm the flawed individual, not him. Right? So if it didn't work out the way I thought it would, man, just get back on the horse and do it again. The only people that are batting 1,000 on praying for people are the people who don't pray for people. Right? So we start building up theology about God. Says, well, you know, we make room for ourselves. We start making excuses saying, well, God must not heal because he didn't heal when I prayed. No, man, you just, you know, didn't work out. Do it again. We do that in the physical all the time. You know, we got more stick to it in the physical than we do in the spiritual, right? Okay. So he taught me who I am. One quote about that he gave me during this season where he says, inheritance without identity is just a bunch of money. And we'll create the culture around us that's within us. So if we have a bad culture on the inside of us that said that God will not do what I've asked him to do, or the power that's within me is not enough, if I have that culture within me, then that culture will be around me. But I can change the culture. I can change the culture around me, right? So, the last thing he taught me was just about trusting in him. I have been on a worship team since I was here. I think I took 1 year off when we moved. But I play guitar, I sing, I lead worship at our church, and have for, I don't know, been a long time, 2002-ish, 2003-ish, right? So I've been doing it a minute, right? That's why I love my brother over here leading worship, right? God told me in this season, you can sing 1,000 songs, but if you walk out of here worried and afraid, it's incongruent with what you're singing, right? Sorry, I said incongruent. The point is, he would rather have our trust than just our song. Does that make sense? If I can come in here and sing about his greatness, sing about his ability to take care of my situation, and then walk out worried and afraid and hopeless and loveless and nervous and sleepless and, you know, all the other isses, depressed, if I can walk out this building, those are just symptoms that I'm struggling to trust God. Now, he's not mad at me. He already told me that. He's not mad at me. He's like, man, I'll wait for you. But if you're going to move forward where God's called us on this road between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise, then we have to learn to trust Him. We got to quit coming into church and believing that we're just going to sing our three songs, Sid's going to pour his heart out, and we're going to go home and act the same like we never heard it. It's got to start mattering. That's what God told me. He's saying, it's got to start mattering. What you hear, what you say you believe. I remember one time, I'm just telling story after story. I remember one time I was sitting there, you know, and we were in the struggle phase of our business, and I was sitting there, and God, I got a bill that I wasn't expecting. I'm like, oh, God. You know, and here I was reading about the character of God, and I was like, God, I trust you. Oh, I love you. And you are powerful. You are mighty to save. You're Jehovah Jireh, right? Then I get a bill that I'm not expecting. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know if I got the money to pay it. You know, got to take the kids' lunch money. I don't know, you know. And all of a sudden, I start to get scared. And God says to me, He said, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? Either I'm everything you just said, or I'm none of it, and I wish you'd pick one. Maybe He don't talk to you like that. That's how He talks to me. He said, how long will you waver between two opinions? Either I'm everything in that book, or I'm none of it, and I wish you'd pick one. Because I can deal with that. If you just be a straight-up atheist, I can deal with that. But I need you to pick one. Either go all the way with me or just run away from me, but I can't deal with this thing with you in the middle being like, you're so good, I'm so scared. He was done with it, right? And so for me, it was like I had to decide, do I trust God? You know, and I have to check those symptoms to say, am I worried? Am I anxious? Am I depressed? If I feel those things, all it is a siren going off in my spirit that says, something's not right, stop what you're doing and get it right. Remember what God said. Okay? So, what happened? I'll just tell you what happened. So, when I say we struggled, I'm not saying like, you know, God was faithful. The bills got paid. Things worked out. You know, when you talk to an older saint, man, they remember that stuff. You know, they're like, oh, you're so worried. Quit being worried. Right? Things worked out for us. Every bill got paid and all that stuff. But in my prayer life, I began to start taking up my authority in God, and I began to speak to my debts, because I knew that if I was going to carry the mantle of wealth, right, and I was going to be able to fund kingdom projects, then I couldn't have some other man owning me every month with all my debt. So I started go down to my basement, and I start pacing the floor, and I'm like, house, I command you to be paid off in the name of Jesus. Cars, I command you to be paid in the name of Jesus. Because I started praying stuff like, oh God, would you please pay off my house? He said, you do it. Quit asking me to do it. You do it. I gave you my name, I gave you my power, and I gave you my authority. You declare it in the spirit, and then we'll make it happen in the physical. I was like, okay. So I just started pacing the floor. God, I declare that my bills are paid and paid on time. I declare that that lawnmower that my father-in-law gave me that he had to kind of tell me I had to pay for so that my other brother-in-laws wouldn't get mad, I declare that thing paid off. And I declare that, you know, my wife's eye surgery paid off. And I owe $12,000 to the government in taxes. I declare that paid off. I mean, I had debt out the yin-yang, right? I'm going to tell you, in a two-year period of time, when it started in 2013, we paid off every debt except for the house, right? And I thought, that's a miracle. Doesn't that sound like a miracle? We'd be satisfied with that, right? But that ain't what I prayed. I got 2010 to 2013 praying for a house to get paid off and declaring it every day. So I could have just been like, hey man, that one's too big for God, right? But I was like, well, that's kind of dumb. I just see Him pay off the rest of this. So I was like, all right, God, I declare this house paid off. I'm going to tell you something. God paid off my entire house in 8 months. I'm not saying that to brag, man. I'm telling you, I am not a smart businessman. I'm not smart enough to pull that off, right? I'm telling you, God intervened in my situation. He built my profits to a place where I was telling Sid today, I had a strategy. I had a 10-year plan, and then my one, like, the big faith plan, you know, like if God really came through, it's a 5-year plan to pay off the house. And then God said, what does God say in His Word? Give me your plans. Right? And then let me have them. So I gave him my plans. He said, you know what? 5 years is too long. 8 months. I'll tell you how much it was. I owed up just under $170,000 on my house. He paid it in 8 months. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm not saying that because I think I'm awesome or anything like that. What I'm saying is God will do impossible things to get us to the thing that He called us to. Right? If we'll just invite Him in faith to do what it is that He said He would do and co-labor with God in the family business of bringing heaven to earth, like, will He not come through for us? Will He not come through for us? Right? So, that said, I don't know how to land this ship, to be honest. But I'm going to just tell you, I felt like this year, I told Sid this earlier, I feel like this year is a year of fulfillment and completion. So raise your hand again if you said you have ever heard God say anything to you about your future. Keep your hand raised if it still hadn't happened. In its fullness. In its fullness. Yeah, me too. Yeah. I am experiencing some of what God said, but I am not experiencing the fullness of what God said yet. Right? I believe He wants to do it. I believe He wants to start it tonight. Can you guys agree with me in that? Come on. Put your hand on somebody real quick. Come on, let's call this out in each other. Guys, I'm not the best public prayer in the world, but let's pray. Come on. If you pray in a prayer language, pray it now. Come on. Jesus, we believe You, God. We believe You, God. Hey, brother, can you play lightly? Can you play something lightly? Cool. Appreciate that, bro. God, we believe You, God. God, Your word is true. You're not a man that You should lie, God. Father, I believe that You will do everything that You said You would do. I believe that You will accomplish all that You said You would accomplish in my life. God, this is the year. This is the initiation season of You bringing forth the plans that You said. I believe there's some of you here that you felt like you feel a million miles away from something that God told you. And I believe that God is saying, I remember what I said to you. I have not forgotten, and I am going to cause it to happen. Does anybody feel that? Does anybody feel that? I'm being real. Come on. Come on, just receive that. If He said something to you, Father, we believe You, God. We believe that You're not a man that You should lie. We believe that You will accomplish all that You said that You would. God, we ask that You would help us to not be weary on the road. God, we ask that You would help us to know Your character, know who You are, know who we are. I declare over this group of men, Father, that they are royalty. These are Your kings in the earth, God. Show them their sphere of influence, God. I believe some of you are starting to see areas where You have influence. God, I believe that You are calling these kings to take up their rightful place and to begin governing their influence, their place of influence, by heaven's standard, not some watered-down version of what didn't work in a past season. I call forth completion. I call forth fullness. Not in part. You don't want me halfway out of debt, God. You wanted me all the way. You took stuff that was held up for me in the form of commissions, and God, You paid it out in a way that I would be responsible, God. God, we receive that today, God. There's some of us that are waiting on, God, specific financial release. God, we extend our faith to believe that You will do it. God, I ask that You would teach us how to pray. God, teach us how to access power through declaration, God. That we would quit praying prayers where we're asking You to do something that You've already given us the authority to take control over ourselves. And right now, God, I release power to these guys to accomplish all that You said that You would do. God, You've already given them authority. You've already given them power. You've already given them the ability to believe You and to declare those things that are not as though they are. And we lean into that now. Is there anybody that needs specific prayer? I don't want to leave this opportunity. We're laying hands on each other, but is anybody says, I need God to move in my situation now? Is there anybody? Come on, dude.
My mother.
Come on, dude. Come here. Come on. Anybody else says, I got to have God move in my situation right now? Okay.